किशोर किशोरी जया किशोर किशोरी जया किशोर किशोरी जया किशोर किशोरी। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। विष्णुपाद प्रियाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद् अभिचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की भक्ति सिद्धांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 6 एते ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एते अलिनस्तव यशो किल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदि पुरुषानुपतं भजन्ते प्रायो अमि मुनिगणा भवदीय मुख्या गोरं वनि वने वनेपि न जहत्य अनगात्मदैवम् एते अलिनस्तव यशो किल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदि पुरुषानुपतं भजन्ते प्रायो अमी मुनिगणा भवदीय मुख्या गूढ़ं वनेपि न जहत्य अनगात्मदैवम्। एते अलिनस्तव यशो किल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदि पुरुषानुपतं भजन्ते प्रायो अमी मुनिगणा भवदीय मुख्या गूढ़ं वनेपि न जहत्य अनगात्मदैवम्। एते लिनस्तव यशो किल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदि पुरुषानुपतं भजन्ते प्रायो अमी मुनिगणा भवदीय मुख्या गूढ़ं वनेपि न जहत्य अनगात्मदैवम्। एते लिनस्तव यशो किल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदि पुरुषानुपतं भजन्ते प्रायो अमी मुनिगणा भवदीय मुख्या गूढ़ं वनेपि न जहत्य अनगात्मदैवम्। एते लिनस्तव यशो किल लोकतीर्थम् Gayanta adi purushanu patan bhajante. Prayo ami munigana bhavadiya mukya. Guram vane pina jahatya nagatma daivam. Ete, these, alina, bees, tava, your, yasha, glories, akila loka, for all worlds, tirtham, the place of pilgrimage, gayanta, are chanting, adi purusha, O original personality of Godhead, Anupatam, following you along the path. Bhajante, they are engaged in worshipping. Praya, for the most part. Ami, these, Munigana, great sages. Bhavadiya, among your devotees. Mukya, the most intimate. Gudam, hidden. Vane, within the forest. Api, even though. Na jahati, they do not abandon. Anaga, O sinless one. Atma Devam, their own worshipable deity. Translation. O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. Purport. The word Gudam is significant in this verse. It indicates that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Krishna or Balarama appears like an ordinary human being within the material world, great sages always recognize the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. All the transcendental forms of Godhead are eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Exactly the opposite of our material bodies, which are temporary and full of misery and ignorance. One meaning of the word Tirtha is the means for crossing beyond material existence. Simply by hearing the glories of Supreme Lord or by chanting them, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform beyond material existence. Thus the Lord's transcendental glories are here described as a Tirtha for everyone in the world. The word Gayanta indicates that great sages give up their vows of silence and other selfish process to glorify the activities of the Supreme Lord. Real silence means to not speak nonsense, to limit one's verbal activities to those sounds, statements and discussions relevant to the loving service of the Supreme Lord. The word Anaga indicates that the Supreme Lord never performs sinful or offensive activities. The word also indicates that the Lord immediately excuses a sin or offense committed by a sincere loving devotee who may accidentally deviated from the Lord's service. In the specific context of this verse, the word Anaga indicates that Lord Balram was not disturbed by the bees who were constantly following him. Anupatam, the Lord blessed them by saying, O bees, come into my confidential grove and feel free to taste its fragrance.
O Magnanati Mirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதாம் சஹகனா ரகுநாதான்வித்தம் த்வம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனா சஹிதம் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண பாதான் சஹகனா லலிதா ஸ்ரீ விசாகான்விதாம்ச்ச நமோ ஓம் விஷ்ணு பாதாய கிருஷ்ணபேஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்தா சுவாமி இதி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதே தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷா சூன்யவாதி பாஷ்யாத்ய தேச தாரிணே ஜெய் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்தருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. I take your permission to start this class on 10th canto, 15th chapter, 6th verse, Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter entitles The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon. In the previous verses, till the 5th verse, I'll just revise what happened. Like, Krishna was five years old before, and he was taking care of calves in Vrindavan forest, grazing them, taking them to the forest. Now they turned 6 years old. It's called Pauganda. From 1 to 5 they are called Kaumara, and from 6 to 10 they are called Pauganda. So in this Pauganda pastimes, Lord is taking care of cows. Nanda Maharaja and all other elderly gopas decided to give Krishna and the other Krishna's friends to take care of cows. So he is going to forest with all the cows. Like, Nanda Maharaj has around 900,000 cows and Krishna is only 6 years old, and he is taking all those cows to the forest along with his friends. One may wonder, like, how can a 6-year-old boy may take care of like 900,000 cows? But Krishna is maintaining the entire universe. He is taking care of each and every living entity in this universe. From ant, he is even feeding the ant to an elephant in the forest. So there is no wonder that Krishna can take care of just 900,000 cows. Even everything in this material world is happening because of the fear of Supreme Lord. Like, even like the rains are coming, the sun is rising, even the death will get afraid or fear and run away when it comes to the Supreme Lord glories. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto, Madbhayat vati vatoyam suryastahati madbhayat varshatendriyota dahatyagnir mrityascharati madbhayat mrityascharati. Death will take its toll and go away by fear of Supreme Lord. So this Lord is acting as a 6-year-old boy who is taking care of cows. And Krishna's specialty is, like, he remembers all the cows' name. Every cow has a unique name in Vrindavan. And he remembers the name and he calls each cow by its name. And each cow responds to Krishna by that. That's the loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees, the cows. And in this pastime of Dhenukasura, Krishna and Gopas, Balarama and all the cows are going into the forest, and the forest is inviting Krishna with in its own way. Like, the trees are bending when Krishna is coming and it's offering its fruits and flowers, and all the birds are chirping, all the bees are buzzing, and the lake is very clear. It is mentioned, like, there are like flowers, lotus with hundreds of petals. I never seen a flower with hundreds of petals. Like, in Vrindavan, there are lotus flowers with hundreds of petals, and when the wind blows on those petals, it is very cool and it is very pleasant. And Krishna, by seeing all this, he is in the mood of enjoying, and he wants to enjoy. And then he starts, like, when he is walking, the trees which are full of fruits are bending and touching the feet of Krishna. Then Krishna wants to reciprocate. He wants to glorify the trees. But if he has to glorify the trees, he has to glorify himself, because the trees are offering obeisances to Krishna himself. But Krishna is little shy and he is in the joking mood. He don't want to glorify himself. So he glorifies Balarama. These are his glories which he wants to tell and which he wants to reciprocate to the trees.
So he glorifies Balarama. He says like, my dear Balarama, see these trees, how they are bending and how they are offering obeisances to you. Maybe they want to get rid of the ignorance in which they are put in this place. One may wonder like, how can the trees in Vrindavan be in ignorance? Actually, the trees are themselves elevated. Even Lord Brahma in the previous chapter, 14th, he prays that I want to be even a blade of grass in Vrindavana. So these trees are not ordinary trees. They are like great sages. But they, out of humility, they think that I am in ignorance and I want to touch Lord's feet. And Krishna wants to reciprocate to them. And it is said like, Mahaprabhu said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a tree with a good fruit always bends. So similarly, any person who has good qualities will be always in a humble state of mind, always thinking lower than others and always want to respect others and take no respect. Such is the mood of a devotee who has good qualities. And in this situation, such is the mood of the trees. They want to offer obeisances to Krishna. They want to take shelter of Krishna's feet. And if we go to the next verse, it is the today's verse, like Ete linastava yasho kilalo katirtan. Alinas, the bees. And what are the bees in compared to like peacocks, pigeons, cuckoos? The bees just buzz. They just do zzzz. And in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the description of kingdom of Godhead, it is described the bees in Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, when they buzz, when they sing the glories of the Lord, all the cuckoos, all the swans, all the peacocks, all the chamaras, all the birds which can sing eloquently, they just stop singing. And there is a lull in their sound. And they allow and they hear the glories of the Lord from the bees. So this shows like, in spiritual world there is no enmity. There is nothing like, oh, I can do better than you. You are just a bee. I am a peacock. I can sing better than you. There is no feeling of enmity in spiritual world. And everyone is appreciating each other. Everyone is glorifying each other. And everyone is glorifying Krishna. In this world there are like many activities which we do for maintaining our existence. Maybe it is a job, or we have to maintain our family, maintain our kids, or any other activity. We have to eat and everything. But in spiritual world, there is only one activity. That is, how can I please Krishna? Just pleasing Krishna is the only activity in the spiritual world. And here you can see, Alinas tava yasho akila loka tirtam. So, akila loka tirtam, akila means akila loka, means the full world, tirtan, holy place. So Prabhupada in the purport describes tirtan, tirtha, as the means for crossing beyond material existence. Simply by hearing the glories of Supreme Lord or by chanting them, one immediately comes to spiritual platform beyond material existence. So what is that material existence? What does it mean by material existence? If we see in this material world, we struggle hard to exist in this material world. Prabhupada mentions, material existence means hard struggle to exist. We can see ourselves like, there is a fight going on every day. Maybe a fight between the countries, or the fight between individuals. Maybe it is individually or collectively. There is a fight going on. And there may be a fight between the family members, there may be a fight between colleagues. But there is a continuous fight to exist. I want to prove myself, I am great. Nobody else in my team is great. I am the great. Oh my boss, please see my glories. Give me some promotion. Or, oh the world, see, I am the greatest country. And they are just fighting to exist or fighting for power. But even there is no fight in this, no fight at current time, there is a fight with the weather. We fight with the winter of Chicago. So how can we get over this? Like, there is adhyatmik klesh, adibhautik klesh, Like misery is caused by others, misery is caused by our body, misery is caused by our mind, by demigods. There is birth, death, old age and disease. And this material world, there is full of miseries. And how can we get over these miseries? Prabhupada says, simply by hearing the glories of Supreme Lord or by chanting them, one immediately comes to spiritual platform. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.15, it is said like, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. Ichchata Abhayam. Ichchata, if you want, Abhayam, free from miseries. What do we have to do? Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha. Just hear and chant the glories of the Lord. What will happen if we hear and chant the glories of the Lord? By that we can remember the Lord every time. And if remembering Lord is non-different from Lord Himself, or the glories of the Lord are non-different from Lord Himself. If we are glorifying the Lord, or if we are hearing about the Lord, that means the Lord is present here with us. When Lord is present with us here, there is no fear. So there is no fear for material existence. We know that our goal is guaranteed. We will go back to Godhead. Krishna is there for us. Krishna will take care of us. So when we hear about the Lord and glorify Lord, we can remember Lord and always stay in a level beyond the miseries. It doesn't mean that there won't be sufferings, or you will feel always cool or something like that. There will be miseries, there will be sufferings, there will be pain, but still you will reach the position which is beyond, which you can tolerate, or which you see Krishna's hand even in the state of miseries. There is a story of Narada boy. Narada in his previous life was born as a son of maid servant. And when in the time of Chaturmasya, when the Bhakti Vedantas came to his place, his mother is serving them prasadam, and the Bhakti Vedantas are discussing among themselves. And Narada Muni was hearing them. Narada Muni was just 5 year old boy. He's just hearing them and taking the remnants, whatever is left, was served to them. And just by hearing, he developed the taste for Krishna, that he achieved that transcendence. Even when his mother died, when his mother was died by the snake bite, he didn't cry or he didn't lament, "Oh Providence, why did you do this for me? How can God be so cruel? How can he kill my mother? I am so good. I am a devotee. How can you kill my mother?" This you can see in the mood of Chitraketu's wife, "Oh Providence, oh cruel, how cruel you are. How can you kill my child, Harshashoka?" Because she does not develop that taste in hearing the glories of the Lord initially. In the case of Narada Muni, we can see that even though his mother died, he just think it as a special mercy by the Lord. He says, "This is a special mercy. Now I can go ahead and go to the forest and meditate on the Lord." So even though it is a circumstance of distress or misery, he transcended that just by hearing the glories of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, first hear scrutinizingly and perfectly, then glorify his acts and deeds. Then it will be possible to remember the Lord always. And Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports, whoever you are, you may be karmi, you may be jnani, you may be yogi, or you may be bhakta, and whatever your desire may be, just hear about the Lord. Your success is guaranteed ultimately. He doesn't say that this hearing of glories of the Lord or chanting of the glories is only for the bhaktas, especially here, who are here, they can hear. Outside, they can't hear. You are banned. Nothing like that. Everyone can hear the glories of the Lord. You may be karmi, who have desires. You may be jnani, looking for some jnan. You may be yogi, or you may be bhakta. Anyone can hear the glories of the Lord. And by hearing, You can get over the material existence. You can go beyond the material existence. Prabhupada here says, one immediately comes to spiritual platform beyond material existence. And there is another story of this Rukmini. Rukmini never saw Krishna before marriage. She only heard about Krishna from Narada Muni. And this is from the first love letter in the world. If you even Google it, like what is the first love letter in the world, you can see it is by Rukmini to Krishna. So she says like, Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrunvatamte nirvishya karna vivarair haratongatapam rupam drisham drishmatam akilartalabam tvayachutam vishati chittam apatrapamme. Here it is said, Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrunvatamte. Shrutva means hearing. By hearing bhuvana sundara shrunvatamte, about the glories of the bhuvana sundara, all beautiful lord, nirvishya karna vivarai harutongatapam, when they enter my ears, harata angatapam. Anga means body, tapam means miseries, harata means which will go away. Just by hearing the glories of the Lord, all the miseries of your body, all your bodily miseries will be gone, just by hearing about the glories of the Lord. And she says, rupam drisham drishimatam akilartalabam. My eyes became like, just by seeing you, my eyes got purified. And I am able to concentrate my mind upon you. I am able to put my mind upon you. Or she says like, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna, just by hearing about the glories of the Lord. So such is the glories of hearing the pastimes of the Lord or the glories of the Lord. So here also like, Ete linastava yasho akila loka tirtan. The bees are singing the glories of the Lord because they are tirtan, they are the means to cross this material existence. So if any of us or all of us want to cross over this material existence, just hear the glories of the Lord. Anytime, every time, even Kapila Muni says, by long time hearing, you can achieve that rati for Krishna. Gayanta Adi Purushanu Patan Bhajante. They are doing Gayanta, singing. Adi Purushanu Patan Bhajante. Here, this shloka, like this statement, is made by Lord Krishna to Balram. So, why is it Krishna calling Balram as Adi Purushanu? Like, he is calling, you are the original personality of Godhead. We can see in the previous, like in the text 4, he says, Mudas Mayam Iva. Like Krishna is in the joking mood. So as in the mood of joking, although he is the original personality of Godhead and Balram is an expansion of his own self, he describes, like he glorifies Balram. You are the original personality of Godhead, because he is in the joking mood. He is just joking with Balram. Gayanta Adi Purushanu Patam Bhajante Anupatam. They are following Lord Balram. The bees in the forest of Vrindavan, they are glorifying and following Balram to in the forest. Like Prayo Ami Munigana Bhavadiya Mukhya. Munigana Bhavadiya Mukhya. So who are these bees who are singing and following Lord Balram everywhere? These bees are Munigana, are the great sages, are the exalted devotees of the Lord. And they are following the Lord everywhere, even to the most confidential pastimes of the Lord. Here it is said, Gudam Vane. Like even into the most confidential pastimes of the Lord, wherever like Lord Balram is going, these bees are following them, singing the glories of the Lord. Even as described before, in many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like these bees, trees or flowers, they are not ordinary living entities. They are great sages. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Uddhava, he wants to become a blade of grass in Vrindavana. So these bees are not ordinary bees or just ordinary grass or something. They are exalted sages who want to glorify the Lord. Gudam Vanepina Jahatya Anagatma Daivam. Gudam. So, if you see first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the questions of the sages, it is said like, Krutvan kila karmani saha ramena keshava atimartyani bhagavan guda kapatamanushaha. Guda kapatamanushaha. Guda means disguised as a human being. Kapatamanusha, as a human being. So, Lord is disguised as a human being. But the sages of Naimisharanya, they are asking Suta Goswami, please describe about Lord. Who is hiding as a human being? Who is disguised as a human being? So, even though Lord may be disguised as a human being, but a pure devotee or the sages can identify him and glorify him. A dog may see a master in a different dress or in a different disguise, but dogs always identify his master. Similarly, a devotee identifies his Lord, the Supreme Lord, even though he is disguised as a human being. There may be many so-called gods manufactured. They may say that I am God, or his disciples may say I am God, he is God. But Shastras and all the sages, even though Krishna is disguised as a human being, they glorify Krishna. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these bees in Vrindavana, even though Lord is disguised as a human being, are following the Lord and glorifying him.
Anaga Atma Daivam. Gudam Vanepidna Jahati Anaga Atma Daivam.
Anaga means it can be a sinless or offenseless, or who never commits offense, or who never takes any offense. So in this context, Lord Balrama, he is not taking any offense, even though the bees are following him to the most confidential pastimes. Here Prabhupada is saying, the Lord blessed them by saying, O bees, come into my confidential grove and feel free to taste its fragrance. So Lord is allowing the bees to come into my confidential pastimes and I'll enjoy it. So that is the text 6 of this chapter, and next we are going to text 7. Translation.
O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These dove are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are more fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home.
So, here is other beings in the forest receiving Krishna. We saw the trees bowing down to Krishna, and we saw the bees singing the glories of Krishna. Now there are like the peacocks and the female deer, and there is also the cuckoos singing for him. So we can see, and the translation says, the verse says, all these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. So this also shows like how we have to receive a great soul when he is at home or when he is at temple, or how the interactions between the great souls happen. So here the peacocks are dancing for Krishna when Krishna is entering the forest, and the female deer, they are showing affectionate glances on Krishna. And the cuckoos are honoring by, like, cuckoos just do cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. So there, it is like the Vedic mantras singing for Krishna. So we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever any great soul comes or enters their kingdom, we can see the similar thing happens. Like when Krishna is entering Hastinapura, or when Krishna is going back to Dwaraka, all the citizens come from their kingdom outside and they start singing his glories, and they start offering all fruits, flowers and everything to Krishna, and they start taking darshan of Krishna. They show affectionate glances on Krishna. So these peacocks or deer and cuckoos, they may be not glorifying as with the Sanskrit verses, or maybe they are not dancing with a nice clothes or dress, but in their own way they are glorifying Krishna. Whomever you are, whatever your position may be, you can glorify Krishna. It does not mean that you have to be a great devotee or a pure devotee to glorify Krishna. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked, my dear Prahlad, Lord is very angry, can you go and glorify him? Can you please him? So Prahlad says that, my dear Lord, I don't want to show false humility saying that I am not eligible to glorify you. Because a chance is given to me that I can glorify you, I should take it. He takes the chance, like he takes the opportunity to glorify the Lord. It is false humility if you just say, can you glorify the Lord? No, I am not eligible to glorify the Lord. It's not humility, it's actually false humility. If you are asked to glorify the Lord, we should take the opportunity and sing the glories of the Lord. So here, whatever the position of the it may be, they are just birds or deer or animals or cuckoo, they are glorifying the Lord whatever position they are in. So whatever position we are in, whomever we meet, we can glorify the Lord. We may not be an expert in reciting the verses, or we may not be an expert orator, whatever we are. Dhruva Maharaj is just 5 years old. Prahlad Maharaj is just 5 years old. Narada Muni as a Narada boy is 5 years old. And these cuckoos or birds or peacocks, they are just birds and animals. And the bees is just buzzing. They don't sing Sanskrit verses. Whomever we are, we can glorify the Lord. Just by glorifying the Lord and hearing about the Lord, that will develop the taste for Krishna. That will develop a relationship within Krishna. That will make us always remember Krishna. Ante Narayana Smriti. Then we can remember Krishna at the end of our life. It is not possible just to remember Krishna at the end of life. Okay, end of life, right? I will think in the end of life. Not now. Now I am so busy. No. If we now hear about Krishna and remember Krishna, chant Krishna's glories, then we can remember Krishna at the end of his life. Even Prabhupada, in one of the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, he mentions, this work which he has written may not be in correct English language, or maybe there may be mistakes in language or in what he wrote. But still, because it is glorifying Lord, it is perfect. So there may be, you may not be a great speaker, or your English may be bad, or your Sanskrit may not be good, or you can't glorify correctly, whatever it may be. If you are pleasing the Lord by singing his glories, your life is perfect. So there is a small story of a Brahmana in a kingdom of Videha. So there are two devotees in this kingdom. One is Shrutadeva and another is Bahulaswa. This comes in the 86th chapter of 10th canto. When Krishna goes to the kingdom of Videha, these two devotees, one is a great king and one is a poor Brahmana. The king has all the opulences, and the Brahmana, he just meets his day's need. He gets that day food on that day and he eats. That's it. He just maintains his body. When Krishna goes to the kingdom of Videha, all the everyone comes and greets Krishna. And Bahulaswa, the king, he invites Krishna to his palace. And Shrutadeva, he also invites Krishna to his house. Then Krishna wants to please both of them. So Krishna expands. And Krishna goes to the palace, and Krishna also goes to the Bahulaswa. And when the king receives the Krishna, he arranges like beautiful women singing and dancing, and so many people are offering golden plates, they are offering arati for Krishna, they are offering fruits for Krishna, and demigods are singing for Krishna. And Krishna goes in and he offers a golden throne for Krishna to sit, and he massages his feet, he offers him food, he offers him silk clothes. And Krishna also goes to the Shrutadeva, and Shrutadeva is just a poor Brahmana. he don't have anything. He offers a grass mat and he don't have any followers to dance for him. So he just takes his Angavastra. Angavastra means the one which Prabhu is wearing, the something like the cloth on the shoulder. He just takes it and waves it and dances for Krishna. So he is just a simple Brahmana. Whatever he has, he just dances for Krishna. And he offers the grass mat to Krishna, and then he offers whatever simple fruits he has to Krishna. And Krishna is similarly pleased with Shrutadeva as Bahulashva. Whatever opulence he has, he is offering to Krishna. Whatever the Brahmana has, he is offering to Krishna. So whomever we are and whatever position we are, just glorify the Lord, our life will be succeed. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, Krishna Sundar, for the class. Really inspiring. It's just a comment that in the last few verses we have seen or have heard the images of the flowers and the plants bowing down and honoring Krishna's presence in the forest, and animals as well. And we see nowadays, and the scientists have discovered in a way that plants have intelligence and they understand many things. Even they have languages that we are still to learn, how they communicate, how they take care of themselves and things. And when we hear these pastimes, we think probably they're mythological, but they're not. If we compare to what the scientists are discovering now, we can see that makes sense. We see with the plants that there are people that have green thumb, as people say here, and people that do not. You know, when they are taking care of the plants, they kill them. But there are some other ones that they respond to it. So what to speak with Krishna's presence in the forest? At nights, in the evenings, in a forest or in a jungle or in a natural environment, at nights, all the plants, all the animals are singing and probably praising how beautiful the day was. If it rained, it was beneficial. If the sun came out, they enjoyed it. They are always praising the Lord Granger, and they're lucky to be all together, that they are part of the creation. And we as human beings, you know, in an arrogant way, are destroying it, and we don't take care of that, and we don't see that absolutely beautiful things that are in the Srimad Bhagavatam are described. I just wanted to say that.
It is said like when the bees are singing, the flowers, they want to give more honey so that the bees can drink the honey and sing more, so that the Krishna will be pleased more. And by seeing the Krishna more pleased, the flowers give more honey so that the bees can drink and glorify more. This happens when Krishna is in the center.
Yeah, and not only that, they are happy because they're helping to spread everywhere. Bees are so important, not just by helping them to spread everywhere and beautify the world, but also to have this absolutely marvelous nourishment, which is the honey. Never spoils, never tastes wonderful. So beneficial for the human being and for everybody. Bees are not as spectacular for the eye as a peacock, but has a function that is more beneficial probably than a peacock.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yes.
So, yeah. In the beginning of the class, Prabhu, you mentioned a very nice point that how Krishna, when came the age of six, Nanda Maharaj entrusted 900,000 cows, and then how we can understand that why the small six-year-old boy can take care of 900,000 cows. At the same time, we know that in Vrindavan, the mood of the devotees is different than Vaikuntha. So in Vaikuntha, devotees are aware that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas in Vrindavan, that awareness is not at the forefront. In the sense, they still see Krishna as their child, as a small boy. So when we look from that perspective, not only this pastime, other pastimes where Krishna exhibits, you know, such abilities or such acts, how do we understand, reconcile with the mood that we know that devotees in Vrindavan have, where they don't see Krishna as a god but as one of them? And how we can understand that Nanda Maharaj would agree that his six-year-old boy will take care of 900,000 cows?
I'm not sure. I will ask somebody and let you know.
To answer your question, Prabhupada said that Krishna is God from childhood itself. Krishna, when he was in the lap of his mother, and when he was crawling, he killed Putana, so many wonderful things. Krishna is not a God after becoming Poganda or after becoming Kaisara is. No, he is a birth itself. Krishna is just, Prabhupada was arguing with him, somebody asked similar question. So like Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is God ever from beginning. Adi Anta Vatta Kuntya. So like that, so he is from beginning to end. He is not, he doesn't require any time to become a God like us in material concept. So that's why he can do anything. Because he has another thing also, you can take example. For 5 years, or how much he was? 7 years, I think, he lived at Govardhan Hill for 7 days. So it is not a wonderful thing. And yes, another question that you are asking, that how, you know, he was bewildering sometimes, why the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they could not know all this, you know, Krishna is the Godhead and everything, because of Jogamaya and Mahamaya. At the same time, in 1 second, Mother Yashoda could see the whole universe in the mouth of Krishna. Then next minute, Krishna bewildered her with Jogamaya. Then what happened? Oh, my God, I think as if my son has been, you know, haunted by some leech, something that, like that. So Krishna is Jogeshwara, he can do anything, just to bewilder. And one more question regarding, sorry, I'll come. And another question here in the purport. Very nice point is that Tirtha, the glorification of Krishna is nothing but, it is also considered as Tirtha. Like similar point you can see in Bhagavatam, that how Yudhishthira Maharaj is addressing Vidur. That, you know, when Vidura, he traveled all over the pilgrimages, you know, he went on that pilgrimage. Then when he came back, Yudhishthira Maharaj telling Bhavan that Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani. So very nice verse is there. You yourself is Tirtha, place of pilgrimage. You don't have to go to different places. Because in that verse, that it is stated, that when a devotee carries the Lord in the heart all the times, that he himself is a Tirtha, the place of pilgrimage. And a very nice point, also here it is mentioned.
Thank you.
That glorification of also Krishna is non-different from Tirtha. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I believe this is your second class you're giving?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like you've been giving for a long time. So thank you for your profound class. You made many wonderful points. I'd like to mention many of them, maybe after class or whenever I get your association. But you were mentioning in the purport, silence means, it doesn't just mean to keep your mouth shut, but to always glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
You also connecting that, And you were also mentioning how the trees bow down to the Lord. So I'd like to connect those points and maybe you could expand on them. One thing I always keep in mind is that regarding silence is that we see that this pastime is with the Dainukasura demon. And on Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he says the demons are compared to the anarthas within our hearts. And we see that when criminals escape from prison, they cause havoc for all of human society. When our anarthas escape from us through our words and through our actions, they cause havoc for us and potentially for others. Now we see that prisoners, they're subdued by security guards. And we're taught to subdue our anarthas, like we're taught to subdue pride with humility, envy with appreciation, attitude with gratitude. However, we see in the material world that they don't subdue any of their negative words, their negative actions. Devotees are taught to subdue, you know, their words, their actions, but it's not so easy to subdue your mind. There's a nice quote that says, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, it becomes your habit. Watch your habit, it becomes your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. So this last two points I mentioned regarding this point, that one pastime I was reading recently regarding this, in the Madhya Khand of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 7, it describes a great Vaishnava named Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was a very rich personality, and he pretty much acted like a materialist. So Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda Datta, they says to Gadadhara Prabhu, I want you to meet a great Vaishnava. So he had a preconceived notion of who a Vaishnava was. So when he met Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he saw that he had, you know, amazing clothes, silk bed, silk clothes, you know, he had two servants fanning him. And he was only thinking in his mind. He didn't subdue, he may have subdued his words, but he didn't subdue his mind. He said, are you kidding me? This is a great Vaishnava? So Mukunda Datta could understand, like there's a quote that says, the face is the index of the mind. So Mukunda Datta saw that he was actually criticizing Pundarik Vidyanidhi, so he wanted to show his glories. So he quoted the couple verses from the Bhagavatam Putana, and when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard these verses, he ripped up all his clothes. He didn't care about, you know, taking his clothes to the cleaner. He broke everything, and he just went into ecstasy for 6 hours. Now, this is my final question, that Gadadhara Prabhu, he was remorseful, repenting for only offending somebody mentally. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill Prahlad, not once, not twice, not three times, however many times, 20 times he tried. He wasn't even remorseful for performing a negative action. So my question is that we usually don't generally, like the verse, I have another point, but I'm not going to mention that, it might take too long, but generally speaking, we generally don't, it may be easy to bow down to people externally, but to bow down to people internally in humility, that's more difficult. So my question is, how to avoid the Hiranyakashipu program where we generally only bow down in humility to others when we receive a reaction? Hiranyakashipu had no inclination to bow down, but as far as Gadadhara, he bowed down in humility when he only had a mental offense. So my question is how can we avoid that? And how can we bow down to the Vaishnavas in humility before we receive a reaction? Because we don't have that tendency, generally speaking. So,
so if I understand it correctly, you're asking, how can I bow down internally with humility, then externally, is it correct? So, when we see a Vaishnava, we may think, okay, he is not as great as me, so I don't have to bow down, or we may not feel that humility within us or humble state of mind within us. But yesterday Gaurang Prabhu was giving a class here. He mentioned like we should have that gratitude of how we are in our current position as a devotee. We are in our current position because of another devotee who came to us and gave us the Krishna consciousness. And we are same as the other one who has faults or whatever. We also have many faults. But the devotees overlooked those faults and gave us Krishna consciousness. When we have that gratitude in our heart, then we feel like that humility, then we will offer that respect to others. When we have to develop that gratitude about the for the devotees and for the Lord, and we can develop that gratitude when we hear about the devotees and about the Lord, when we hear their pastimes, when we hear about the glories of the devotees, devotee appreciation, when we hear about the Lord, when we read Bhagavatam, we can see how glorious are the devotees. And yesterday, like Gaurang, I was just quoting him. He didn't say that like it is said, don't find faults, no fault finding in the devotees. It is not mentioned that devotees does not have faults. There may be little minor faults, but we should not find the faults, no fault finding. So we should not find faults in the devotees. There is one thing common in all of us. We are all in Maya. A little or a big or something. There are pure devotees, but many of us, we are all in Maya. So we are all in a hospital getting the treatment. So we can't show the other person in the other bed and say, see, you have your body dysfunctional. I have my own defects, but we are pointing to others and showing that they have the defects. But when we go to hospital for treatment, to cure ourselves, to transform ourselves, so we come to temple to transform our hearts. So if you are in the state of gratitude, then that humility will arise, then we will bow down to devotees in a humble state of mind. It may not be initially happening, but by sadhana, everything will happen. We have to practice it. Nothing comes instantly. If it comes instantly, it goes instantly. We have to practice by sadhana, we have to hear every day, then slowly, little by little, that humility will arise in our heart. And humility is a cultivable activity. So it can be cultivated. Did I answer your question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Now he said, why? Because that's our constitutional position to bow down. attention and bow down because you're forced forced to bow down and have to do this. So and the reason I'm pretty sure that you got to bow down to the life shop. It's not really externally because that seems but internally like I said, that's the heart of our thing. One thing I realized is that based on what all of us said is there's many places I can mention basically I've never seen anybody. There's a verse in Chapter 22, read those series of verses. It describes that two verses especially. It describes as mindless, ties us by the neck like loose, and basically makes us bow down there. Here's another verse that says, our duty is in our duties. It's a common thing that we have to write it down. But basically, I've never seen anybody. So, anyway, I'm like,